The book of the Revelation, please. Chapter 2. Book of the Revelation, chapter 2. Verse 2. Revelation 2, verse 2. I know. That's our subject. That's what we're going to talk about. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Verse 9. I know thy works and tribulations. Verse 13. I know thy works. Verse 19. I know thy works. Chapter 3, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith he that hath the seven stars, I know thy works. Verse 8, I know thy works. Verse 15, I know. The omniscience of God. What God knows. We started this subject the last time I spoke. Just a brief review of the extent of God's knowledge. Psalm 139. The extent of God's knowledge. I know. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Do you know what that means? The Lord knows what I'm going to think before I think it. How about that? Thou surroundest my path and my lying down, art acquainted with all thy ways. There is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, but thou knowest it altogether. In other words, he knows what I'm going to say before I say it. That's knowledge, isn't it? What is the first word you're going to say when you get home this evening? What's the first word you're going to say? I see some shaking. I don't know. Well, he knows. Isn't that amazing? He knows what I'm going to say before I say it. And he knows what I'm thinking before I think it. John chapter 21. The omniscience of the Lord. John chapter 21. Verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. The Lord knows everything. Chapter 16, please, verse 30. Chapter 16, verse 30. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things. What a capacity to know all things. We won't turn to it, but you remember, God asked Abraham a question. He said, your seed will be like the stars of the heavens, if you can count them. Some Greeks long ago counted the number of stars in the heaven, 2,000 in a figure. The most recent count, and I don't remember the name of the astronomer, he said the number of stars are like the sands of the sea. What do you read in Jeremiah? The number of stars are like the sands of the sea. Science finally caught up the book. Beautiful book, isn't it? Science caught up. The number of stars, like the sands of the sea. Now turn with me to Psalm 147. Bear in mind now, the number of stars are like the sands of the sea. Can you count the sands of the sea? Take a little sand in your hand, spread it out, and count each grain. Yet he knows the number on all the seashores. That's some knowledge, isn't it? 147, Psalm 147, verse 4. He counts the number of the stars, like the sand of the sea, and he can count them. Look at the next part. And he calls them by their names. He's got a name for every star in heaven. When those stars come out, they don't just fall out. He calls them out. More than the sea. I find that thrilling. Don't you find that thrilling? My God, my Lord, what knowledge he possesses. What about the believer? Does he want us to have knowledge? 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18. His knowledge we can't understand. What about us? Verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. He wants us to grow in knowledge. Oh, we can't know what he knows. But he wants us to grow in knowledge. Chapter 1. Verse 15. Chapter 1. Verse 5. I'm sorry. Let's start at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In addition to this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. He wants us to know. He wants us to increase in knowledge. Before we go any further, what is knowledge? What is knowledge? Facts, the truth. And Paul warns us about science falsely so-called. A lot of these things they tell us are facts are not facts. When I was in school, they taught us the evolutionary tree. You know, they still teach that, don't they? Still teach evolution. Everything started in the water. And then one animal in the water decided, I want to be on land. That's evolution. So somehow he got on land. And when he was on land, he had 4 feet. Then he decided, I want to be able to climb that tree. I want 2 feet and 2 hands. And somehow he evolved. And then the first man resembling us humans was called, you know, it's amazing the names they give these things. Pithecanthropus erectus. Doesn't that sound impressive? Doesn't mean a thing. Then the next man in the development, Cro-Magnon man. If you're not careful, you'll bite your tongue saying some of these words. And then the next man was Piltdown man. And the next man was the undertall man. I had to learn all of these. Piltdown man. They finally found out that he was a fake. That there was no such man. You can take the word of God. What the word of God says is true. Read with me, please, in Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 20. To the law. The law of God. To the testimony. The word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, I am not a Hebrew scholar. But let me give you my understanding, which I believe is the correct understanding of this verse. Anybody that tells you anything that's contrary to what's in this book, that person is absolutely, positively, and completely wrong. That's what that verse is saying. Physicanthropus erectus, Kiltdown man, Cro-Magnon man, Neanderthal man. My Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Which is right. The book is right. But we better go on. How do you acquire knowledge? How do you get knowledge? Where does it come from? Proverbs. Chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 7. How do you get knowledge? What's the source of knowledge? The fear of the Lord. Reverence for the Lord. Is the starting point of knowledge. You want to do well in school? The fear of the Lord. Read Daniel chapter 1. Let's turn to that. I don't know how you feel about these things, but I enjoy them. Checking with the word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Chapter 1, when you go home, read the whole chapter. Verse 17. These four children, God gave them knowledge. How about that? You want to do well in school? The fear of the Lord. Yes, he'll help you in school. Oh, yes. All knowledge is his. And if you want to do well in school, the fear of the Lord. But also we read in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge, the facts. Wisdom, how to put the facts together to get the right answer. That's wisdom. You go to the doctor. Doctor, my little finger on the right hand pains me. And then he asks you about, do you have headaches? You say, what's that got to do with my little finger? Is your appetite good? What has that got to do with my little finger? Do your knees bother you? And you wonder, is this doctor crazy? Does he really know? You know what he's doing? He's seeking facts. He's gathering all the facts so that he can put them together to get the right answer. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Fear of the Lord. Beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom. How to put the knowledge together to get the right answer. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. One woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. I was delivered of a child with her in the house. It came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. This woman's child died in the night because she laid on it. She arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while I slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to nurse my child, it was dead. When I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. The other woman said, Nay, the living son is mine, the dead son is yours. This said, No, but the dead son is my son, is thy son. Thus they spake before the king. Two women, each gave birth to a child. One child dead and one living. Who's the mother of the living one? How would we solve that today? How would you answer that question today? You know what we do? Take blood from mother one, blood from mother two, blood from the living child, blood from the dead child, and do what we call DNA tests. And you get the result in several days to maybe a week or more. Solomon didn't have DNA. Let's read what happened. Verse 23. Then said the king, This is thy son that liveth, and thy son is dead. The other said, Nay, but thy son is dead, and thy son is living. The king said, verse 24, Bring me a sword. They brought a sword before the king. The king said, Divide the living child in two. Give half to one and half to the other mother. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. The king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is a mother. He didn't have DNA. What did he have? Wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. A few scriptural examples. Exodus chapter 31. Now some of you are visiting and you're not familiar with my habit. My habit is to turn to many scriptures. Maybe it's a bad habit, but that's just my way. From a youth I was trained to prove the Bible by the Bible. And I turned to many scriptures. Exodus 31, verse 2. The Lord is speaking, and he says, "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge." You want knowledge? The fear of the Lord. Bezaleel got his knowledge from the Lord. And I repeat, this is not only knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge in general. Knowledge at school. I didn't mean to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. Knowledge at school. In New York City, at the Lincoln Hospital School of Nursing, among those there were two young ladies from the assembly. And these two young ladies, oh, they teased them. "You don't do this and you don't do that. You don't go here and you don't go there." Oh, they gave them a rough time. But these two ladies were consistent, two students. Came to the meeting whenever they could. Lived before the Lord. Graduation day. And what do you think happened? Between the two of them, they won all the prizes. That's fact. One of them lives right here in Washington, and the other is living in Detroit. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3. First Kings chapter 3, verse 5. First Kings chapter 3, verse 5. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, 'What shall I give thee?'" Verse 9. "Give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this great people?" Verse 12. "Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall there be any like thee after thee." Where does Solomon's wisdom come from? Where did that knowledge that he had come from? The fear of the Lord. And you young folks here, keep the Lord before you. Don't you let them deceive you into saying there's no God and we must do the best we can and all that. You'll excuse the expression, nonsense. Keep the Lord before you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. I have a lot of scriptures written here. I'm saving you. We're just turning to a couple. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. "The Lord giveth wisdom." You want knowledge and wisdom? The Lord gives them wisdom and knowledge. The Lord. But I must move along. The next question. How do you get wisdom and knowledge? How do you go about getting wisdom and knowledge? What is the source of wisdom and knowledge? We just saw the fear of the Lord. Now, one of the nice things that I like to see, and there's an example. When these children come out of Sunday school, you see that little paper he has with pictures for him to fill in? And a little writing there. That's their textbook. And you know how we are going to get knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? From our textbook. This is our textbook. Psalm 119. Verse 18. Open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You want facts? You want the truth? It's in this book. Verse 97. Rebecca isn't here today. You remember she had favorite hymns. And I've got some favorite verses. Read with me verse 97. O Lord, I love how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Do you believe that? You be subject to the word of God, you'll be surprised how well you'll do. I remember at a certain stage in school, we were studying pathology. And for some reason, the assistant head of the department didn't take to me. And he made it very well known. One weekend, there was no assembly there, so I decided to look up the pathology of the kidney. When I say, I'm sure the Lord led me that way. And as was my habit then and now, I never read one book on the subject, at least two books and as many as I could. And on that Sunday, I read about the kidney. On the Monday, this assistant professor, who didn't take to me, gave a quiz. What do you think the quiz was? Classify the diseases of the kidney. I just read it on Sunday. And so I wrote. The fellow next to me had not studied, had not written, had not read. He copied for me. The fellow to my left, he hadn't studied. He didn't know. And he copied from me. The results. I got 85. The fellow to the right got 90. And the fellow to the left got 95. Now, how do you like that? That's real bias, isn't it? All right. As I went on in school, I spent a year in pathology. One of the best years in all my study. Oh, that was a beautiful year. And the head of the department of the medical school came to me in New York City and said, we have an opening for you, and I'd like you to take it. I'd like you to be my assistant, taking the place of the man who cheated me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. You trust him, he'll bring you out. This is our textbook. My second day in medical school, I met there a fellow whom I knew at college. He was a senior. He had done well. He made the honor society. And I said to him, Hamilton, what would you advise me to do? What about this medicine business? How do you learn it? You know what he said to me? Garns, dig. Dig. Acts chapter 17. You want to know the word of God? The will of God? You want knowledge? Dig. Acts 17, verse 11, speaking of the Bereans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. They were digging. You want knowledge? Dig. Search the scriptures. Come back again with me to Psalm 119. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And I want to tell you, when you get with this book and God reveals and opens your eyes, you're thrilled. Brother George and I talk about that often. The thrill that you get out of studying this word. They search the scriptures daily. Story is told of a boy going away to school. And his mother helped him pack. She gave him a Bible and said, son, read your Bible. He went off. After a few weeks, he wrote a letter to his mother. Mother, things are going well, but I'm low on cash. Mother wrote back, dear son, I've received your letter. I'm glad that you're doing well. Read your Bible. God bless you. Love, mother. He went on till he was down to his last $10 bill. He wrote, mother, I'm at the last $10 bill. She wrote back, dear son, I have noted all that you have said in your letter. Read your Bible. God bless you. He said, mother is getting Alzheimer's disease. She doesn't understand. Read your Bible. And in great distress, he said, well, maybe if I read it, something will happen. God will give me some money from somewhere. And he took down the Bible and dusted it off. He said, I really don't even know where to start to read. But I'll open it anyhow. He took it and opened it. There was a $50 bill. He turned the pages. There was a 20. He turned the other direction. There was another 50. Read your Bible. Now, I know you young folks read your Bible, so I don't have to tell you to read your Bible. But there is a wealth of knowledge in this Bible. Read it regularly. You'd be amazed what it will do for you. The story is also told of a group of students. One fellow was outstanding. And someone asked, how is it that you are at the head of your class? You know what he said? They spend their money on alcohol. I spend my money on oil. These were the days way back when they didn't have electrolyte, read by oil lamp. They spent their money on alcohol. I spent mine on oil. Studying. Oh, young people, I say this not because I think you're not doing, but to encourage you. Keep with this book. Study this book. Oh, I know you have a lot of homework. I know that you have a lot of things to do, a lot of subjects. Include this one. I don't like to talk about myself. But at the third year in medical school, I decided I'm going to try something. As a matter of fact, I believe it was the Lord telling me to do it. Before I look at a medical book, I'm going to look at the Bible. And I won't stop until I get something from the Lord. What do you think happened? Graduation came, and it was whispered, somebody in this class is not going to graduate. A couple of the fellows came to me and said, you don't seem worried. I said, no, I'm not worried. If I don't graduate, none of you will. The book. This is our textbook. Take time and study the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. But then, you know, in addition to your textbook, you need a good teacher. I've had some miserable teachers. I suppose that's true of all of us. I think of one fellow there, and he was a PhD too, teaching biology, Dr. Bailey. And all he would do is read. I got a hold of his notes one day, and I saw where his references came from. And I got those references, and when we came to class, as he read, I read. But he didn't teach us a thing. But there was another doctor, Dr. Tchekelis. Oh, he could teach. He could communicate. You know something? He never got his PhD. But he was a good teacher. I think of another teacher that I had. Dr. Prager. See, I remember the names. He said to us, I have put 3 statements on the board. Copy those statements. Don't ask me how I know they're true. Don't ask me. Just copy them and learn them. And you know that course was easy. And after a while, we saw why the 3 statements were true. He was a good teacher. Who is our teacher? John chapter 14. We have a good textbook. Who is our teacher? John chapter 14. Verse 26. But the Comforter, the Helper, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Who's the teacher? The Holy Spirit. Chapter 16. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, ye cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Who's the teacher? Holy Spirit. And who's the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 5. Our teacher is the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5. For the sake of time, verse 3. Peter said unto Ananias, why has faith Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, the last part. You have not lied unto men, but unto God. Who's the Holy Spirit? God. Who's our teacher? God. You want a better teacher? A perfect textbook and a perfect teacher. And there is one thing about this textbook and this teacher that is true of no other book, the age of this book. Again at school, Professor Mott, a world authority on Shakespeare. Oh, he knew Shakespeare. And we liked him. And one day there was a symposium. A professor from Columbia University came. And he and Professor Mott sat down discussing Shakespeare. And they did very nicely until they came to a point where the two authorities disagreed on Shakespeare. And I said to myself, there's only one way to know what Shakespeare said, is for Shakespeare to get out of the grave and come here and tell us. The one who wrote this book is present with us and in us to tell us what he means by the book. You know a better arrangement? Do you know a better arrangement? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have a perfect textbook. We have a perfect teacher. Some teachers inspire. Some teachers just waste your time. The Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher in existence, anywhere. Read your Bible. I'm finished. Hymn number 204. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hand the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Silent, my ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes. Ask the Holy Spirit to open them. He'll teach you. Spirit divine. 204. You are acquainted with my favorite question. Aren't you glad you saved?
Amen.
Amen is right. The fire and the torments my eyes will never see. I'm going to be with the Lord. Meanwhile, let us look to him, live in his fear, learn of him with the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence with worship and with thanksgiving. We thank thee for our coming together this morning to remember the Lord and to worship thee. We thank thee for the lesson in the Sunday school and that which thou hast brought to us, the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. May it be ours to cherish what we have, thy holy word and the Holy Spirit to teach us. Dismiss us now, we pray thee, with thy richest blessing resting upon us as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.